Hey there. Welcome to the Wonderful World Podcast. I'm glad that we can spend a little bit of time together today, and I'm looking forward to talking about some good news. The song, What a Wonderful World, said bright, blessed days. In a world full of chaos, we need some good news, and of course, we'll look at it as we always do from a practical and a theological perspective. Now, every good show has a theme song, right? Every good show has a theme song. Growing up, you know, you can hear a certain tune and automatically go, oh, that's that TV show. And so this podcast should be no different. And so I asked my son, Michael, to take What a Wonderful World and create a song, a theme song based on that. I don't want it to sound like What a Wonderful World. I want it to be based on that. And so my son is, 19, be 20 this year, and finishing up a sophomore year of college. And so I asked him to create this talented musician. And so for the first time, you get to hear the theme song. So every time you hear this, it will be synonymous with Wonderful World. So without further ado, here's the creation of our podcast theme song by Michael. How awesome is that, right? I mean, that's incredible. The gifts and the abilities he has to do that, man, just I'm overwhelmed. I'm blown away. So thank you, Michael. Yes, I am paying him for this. So before some of you are like, hey, you got to pay that kid. He's going to get paid. And I'm not talking about he's going to get fed and all the stuff you had when you were a kid. You know, did you eat this week? Did you have a roof over your head? I'm not talking about that. He's actually going to get paid for that. So that is our theme song for Wonderful World Podcast. And so we're going to talk about bright, blessed days. And I appreciate you tuning in every time. Some of you have given great feedback. Thank you so much. Hey, please rate the show on there. If you would like to be a supporter of the show or what I do in leadership with Life 180, you can go to Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/life180. And there's different perks on different levels by supporting it monthly. And I'd love to, for you to be a supporter and to be a part of the team. So patreon.com/life180. But during this pandemic, there's been a lot of bad stuff. And of course, we're right now seeing all kinds of things across our nation with the unfortunate, once again, senseless death of African-American man, and just tragic. And then everything that is entailed from that. But during the pandemic, John Krasinski of The Office fame, Jim from The Office, who, by the way, when I first kind of started looking at The Office and Jim and Pam, I was really disappointed in real life they weren't married. I don't know if anybody else was. But anyway, that's just a whole other point. That's a whole Office discussion you can have. But he started something called SGN, Some Good News, and it just boomed. And it was just a real hit, and a lot of good things came from it. And just wanted to give you some good news, because most of the stuff we have is negative. So I thought, well, my goodness, if John Krasinski can do it, if we're talking about a bright, blessed day, then let's talk about some good news. So today I'm going to give you some good news and share a few articles with you. And as we share those articles, talk about how that applies to us practically, theologically, and maybe you just leave encouraged today. I don't know what's going on in your life. I know that you turn on the news and there is nothing good. There's bickering, fighting. There is actual destruction going on. There's death. There's a lot of horrible things. And you know, I was telling my wife the other night, if we get so focused sometimes on what we see in front of us on the news, that we think that is the chaos that is everywhere. But there's a lot of good things happening. And the reason there's a lot of good things happening is because there is resurrection in Jesus, and there is hope. And so good news gives us and reminds us of the hope that we have. So I'm going to share a few of those with you today and just talk about that from a good perspective. So just a few articles. Don't know how many of these I'll get through. Just wanted to give you some encouragement today. Maybe you can leave and go, hey, it's going to be a good day, no matter what. So the article, the headline of this article is, after weeks of struggling to make ends meet, hairstylist surprised with $2,500 tip from walk-in customer. Awesome. Let's see. This article is written by McKinley. I think that says Carlberg. Corbley. There we go. Corbley. C-O-R-B-L-E-Y. Wow. What a name. Now here's the article. A 32-year-old hairstylist was left crying tears of joy after a walk-in customer surprised her and her coworkers with a hefty tip for their services. Ilsia Novotny, I guess that's right, a stylist at Floyd's Barbershop at the University of Denver, has been struggling to make ends meet since the salon closed amidst the novel coronavirus. And that's good grief. We've seen that over and over again. Her regular customers have been sending her Venmo payments to support her during the closure, but the single mother had been forced to negotiate special arrangements for the rent and utility bills at her home in Aurora, Colorado. The barbershop recently reopened with strict sanitary and social distancing guidelines, as we've seen across the country. She had just been finishing up a busy Saturday shift last week when a man walked in for a haircut. As Novotny trimmed her hair, they chatted about baseball, Colorado, and the difficulties of making it through the quarantine. And after she finished the job and started sweeping up floors, the man settled his bill with a receptionist. But before he left the store, he made a puzzling parting comment. "Just so you know," he told the receptionist, "it's not a mistake." And then he left. Minutes later, the salon's cheerful receptionist ran over to her station and told her that the man had tipped her $2,500. Wow. $2,500 tip. The total of the haircut, I'm looking at the receipt here, was $27. He tipped her $2,500, so $2,527 is what he signed for. Not only that, he had given $500 to the receptionist, $1,000 to the general manager, and $1,800 to be divided among the shop's 18 employees. Altogether, he left $5,800 in tips. That's incredible. That is so awesome. The shop's Facebook page said, "The support we've seen since being able to reopen some of our shops where regulations allow has been astounding. This is just one great story from one of our Denver shops. Thank you to our communities for supporting us during this time." They wrote that on their Facebook page. So here's the question. What would possess an individual to get a $2,700 haircut and leave a $2,500 tip plus all the other he left? And it goes back to the fact that when God created us, he created us with a desire to do charitable things. Really, and I know people say, "Well, there's no good." I want you to take that. I understand what we're saying, that we're all sinners. We get that. But we also know that we have a conscience. And that conscience knows the difference between right and wrong. And that conscience even knows charitable. And so I don't know this man's faith. It doesn't tell me about her faith. It doesn't tell me about his faith. But I know that there is something. There is this creation of God and the fact that we see him and everything that is, that says there is good. I don't know how to reach that good. And so we see this. And this is a beautiful thing of charity, a beautiful thing of kindness. And I am just so captured by kindness in this world. One of my favorite people to just know and to follow and to see him live his life is Bob Goff. And Bob Goff has just based his entire life on just being charitable, just being kind. Find somebody that is hurting and show them love. Find somebody that is hurting and show them kindness. That is the gift that we have been given. And so my encouragement to you today is to not just say, I see all the negative. Okay, if you see the negative, go do something positive. If you see unkindness, go do something kind. If you see hatred, go show love. Let's be the opposite of that. Instead of looking for good news, let's create the good news. And that's exactly what this man did. He literally changed someone's life. He changed someone's perspective, because that is not a momentary thing. She will always carry. She'll spend the $2,500 and probably quickly because of everything she's gone through during this pandemic. But she'll never forget the moment that she was shown that kindness. And that is the beauty of it. So I just want to encourage you to, if you can't find some good news, make some good news. Another article by the same person, the headline is, Family Prays for Their Honesty After Finding and Returning Bags Containing Cash. So it's the family from Virginia. It's a school teacher, Emily Shantz, and her family have been out on a weekend drive when they saw the car ahead of them swerve to avoid hitting a large bag in the road. Although the Shantzes were unable to swerve around the object in time, they did pull over to the side of the road so they could move it out of the way. Assuming it was trash, they grabbed the abandoned two bags off the pavement and threw it into the trunk. It was only later that the Shantzes opened up the sacks and found dozens of plastic packages filled with stacks of cash. With stacks of cash. Can you imagine? You thought you pulled trash off the road, and then you pulled... The total of the cash was almost $1 million. They threw something in the trunk thinking it was trash, unloaded it, and thought it was almost $1 million. That's crazy. So what did they do with it? All right, that's the big question that we're all waiting for, right? What did they do with the $1 million of cash? Listen to this. Rather than keep the money for themselves, Emily and her husband turned it all into the police with the hopes of teaching their sons a valuable lesson in honesty. They could have kept it, no one would have known, but instead of doing that, they turned it in. Because they wanted to teach a lesson. Police investigators believe that the Postal Service had been delivering the bags to a local bank. Still a mystery is how they ended up in the middle of the road, although all they know is the Shantzes deserved praise for their good deed. Police Major Scott Moser told a radio station, TV station, not sure, for someone so honest and willing to give that almost $1 million back, it's exceptional on their part. Their two sons were there, so I put the lights on for them, but we are proud that they represented this county well by being so honest. And just give you the county, was Caroline County in Virginia. What did I say, Virginia? Yeah, in Virginia. Now, I want you to think about this. We're going to go back to money because we just did the $2,500. $1 million, what would you do with $1 million? I want you to think of that question. Man, I can think of some stuff. $1 million? I can't even fathom $1 million having that in my hand at one time. But go back. They decided to give it back because they wanted to teach their sons a lesson in honesty. Now, here's the deal. It's the same thing I said a while ago about the woman receiving the money. $1 million, although that seems like a huge amount of money, every one of us could spend or give away $1 million. We could spend part of it, give it away, that $1 million. Do you know they say, I think it's like 70% of people that win the lottery go bankrupt, eventually file for bankruptcy. Because money is finite. Money runs out. You only have so much of it, and then it goes away. It doesn't just reproduce itself. And so they could have kept the $1 million. They could have spent it. They could have bought a new house. They could have bought a new car. There's all kinds of things because, hey, it's tax-free at this point, right? Because nobody knows they have it. They could have done all of that, but they decided to teach their sons. Now, here's the deal. That money would eventually run out. They could have spent it on their sons, but it would have run out. The lesson that they taught their sons will never run out. And the lessons that we are teaching and the lessons that we are exhibiting in our life are bigger than momentary pleasures, things that just last for a moment. $1 million, say, I can make that last. And I agree, I could too. But the lesson they taught their sons, their sons will remember that the rest of their lives. And so they're creating. So this is this good news. That you know, you look around and say, man, our whole world is selfish. Nobody cares about anybody else. Everybody just cares about themselves. Not this family. I won't give their name again because we're just going to shout them out. Shantz, S-C-H-A-N-T-Z, Emily Shantz. Awesome. So thank you, Shantzes, for teaching us that there is good in this world, that there are people that care, and that, you know, that there's lessons being learned. Let me go to another one. And this is just a statistic because this is something that has affected, unfortunately, many people's lives. But the headline is U.S. traffic deaths fell in 2019 for third straight year, even as overall road use increased. Even as overall, and this is from, actually this is from the Good News Network. You can find that online. Great source for this, right? The U.S. National Highway Traffic Safety Administration released preliminary estimates for the 2019 data on highway crashes, and it showed a continued decline in traffic fatalities for the third year in a row. Transportation Secretary Lane Chao said, safety is our top priority, so this report that traffic fatalities appear to have decreased again for the third year is great news. And fatalities decreased in most major traffic safety categories. Fatalities of drivers was down 3%, passengers down 4%, motorcyclists down 1%, pedestrians down 2%, and pedal cyclists, bicycles, right, down 3%. Now, that's an estimated decrease of about 440 deaths. It's down 1.2% over the year before. Now, unfortunately, the year before is 36,000. And that is, man, let's be careful. But traffic miles rose almost 1%. So traffic miles went up 1% across the U.S. and fatalities went down 1.2%. So that's good news. Now, I know we could focus on the deaths and we could see the negative, but I want us to focus on that positive and see the good things that come from that. The fatality rate per 100 million miles traveled will be the second lowest since they started recording fatal crash data. It also just shows that 9 out of 10 regions across the country have experienced a downturn in deaths in 2019. That doesn't say which region didn't. But here's the deal. So I say to this, we're going to get practical and theological and all and everything we discuss. And this is one of those. So I said we have the ability to create good news. So how do you create good news in this? You stay cautious when you're behind the wheel of a car. Why? Now, I know, like anybody else, we get impatient. We get impatient in traffic. We get impatient with how other people drive and all those things. But think about what Jesus said. He told us to love our neighbor. And what if we took love our neighbor behind the steering wheel? What if we took love our neighbor, say, you know what, I'm going to care about that person. We have a lady in our church, and she said this is one of the things that helped her. Our whole theme at Lighthouse this year is love everybody. And so she said she's actually been a little bit of an impatient driver, and so she's taken love everybody to her driving. And so she's thinking about the person that's pulling in front of her. She's thinking about the person that may have cut her off. She's constantly aware. Instead of being angry and aggressive, she's decided to be loving and back off. And that is loving your neighbor. So we're taking loving your neighbor behind the steering wheel. And when we love our neighbor, we're going to give more leeway. We're not going to try to edge our way in. I had a guy the other day just kept pushing to get in somewhere. And I just like, okay, man, you know. I think sometimes we're like, no, this is my spot. And humility says give up that spot. And who knows, giving up that spot in traffic, giving up that spot in the way somebody comes may actually save a life. That person may be impatient, and if I don't let them in, they may be more impetuous. It may make them more angrier. And who knows down the road how aggressively they're going to drive. So maybe in that moment, just me backing off a little bit and let somebody have their way and me have to wait another 5 to 10 seconds is not so bad. So let's be loving everyone by how we drive, by how we do anything, someone in the grocery store, letting them in line in front of us, so many things. So this just shows a trend that is going down, but we could make it go down further if we adopted an attitude of just loving people and seeing the good. You know what, that guy, he may not even know that I'm here. Oh, that guy cut me off. He may not even seen you. It could have been an honest mistake. Or they may be going through something right now that is difficult for them, and I can just say, you know what, I don't know what they're going through. I'm going to back off. We're going to calm the situation. Instead of laying on the horn and you know, doing all the other stuff, hopefully you're not giving any signals with your hands. We won't get into that. You know, just love the person and be kind and give way. And who knows the difference that that could make in that. So, once again, make the good news. Make the good news. All right, last one. Last one I'll share with you. This one's personal, all right? And I'll tell you why it's personal in just a second, because you're going to hear it and you're going to like, how in the world is this personal to you? Breakthrough for Kenyan scientist who discovered natural microbe that completely stops malaria in mosquitoes. This article is by Michael Goonan. Wow. Michael Goonan. Now, before I get into this, I need to tell you. So in 2008, I went with a group of men. We went to Africa, to Togo, Africa, on a missions trip. And a good experience as far as going there and what came out of it. I came out of it with a very good friend in Togo, Kofi. And Kofi is a pastor there. And Kofi is a student, and he's married now, and just an awesome guy. I message with him two or three times a week. He encourages me over and over again. So we correspond regularly. But while I was there, we saw the effects of malaria. But I didn't just see the effects of malaria. I felt the effects of malaria. I ended up getting malaria while there in Africa. And that is truly a very painful. If you don't know, it attacks the liver and the organs. And I have never just felt so sick. It's a different type of sick feeling. I can't describe it. There is a pain in there with that sickness. There's just, it honestly feels like something is just squeezing your organs. It was an unusual thing. I don't know how to describe it. So having had malaria, it has made me more sympathetic to that. So Kofi, my friend, had major issues with malaria, and his eyes were very jaundiced. He was having a lot of liver issues. So we started financially sending him $25 a month to handle, get medicine, and go to the doctors. And I'm glad to say, after all these years, 12 years later, and it happened just a few years after this, but he had a good bill of health. Everything was good. They have everything under control. His liver's doing well. So that was, man, that's really positive stuff. And we've continued to financially support him over the years, and just become a great friend. And so I'm glad to see that, but that is not common. You know, these people live with this and unfortunately die with this. I understood why when babies get this malaria, they die, because it's just, it wreaks havoc on your system. And so reading this article was really encouraging, and that there's people doing this work. So a team of scientists in Kenya, in the UK, I'm reading the article now, are hailing the enormous potential, quotes, of a new strategy to control malaria after discovering that a microbe completely protects mosquitoes from infection. The data we have so far suggests it is 100% blockage, Dr. Jeremy Heron of the International Center of Insect Physiology and Ecology told BBC News. Quote, quite a surprise. I think people will find that a real breakthrough. Now they're developing plans to spread the microbe through mosquito populations in infected regions in an unprecedented effort to eliminate the 400,000 deaths that result from the disease each year. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? 400,000 people die from malaria every year. I mean, we're talking about coronavirus, which is serious, and it's real, but 400,000 people are dying from malaria every year, and these people are finding solutions. That's good news. That's something we ought to support. That's something we ought to pray about. That's something we ought to be involved in. While studying mosquitoes near the waters of Kenya's Lake Victoria, the researchers unexpectedly came across a protective fungus called Microsporidia MB, which was already in the bodies of the insects. Now their goal is to disseminate the microbe in at least 40% of mosquitoes in malaria-infected regions. Two main methods are being considered. First, the mass release of spores in of the microbe in areas where many mosquitoes live, or, I don't know how they do this part, implanting the microbe in male mosquitoes, who, by the way, don't bite. Male mosquitoes don't bite. It's the female mosquito that bites. Or implanting the microbe in male mosquitoes in the lab, who would then spread it to female mosquitoes who spread the disease through their bites. Now, why do the females bite and the males don't bite? The females actually bite because the blood actually helps them fertilize the egg. So that's why you're getting bit by a mosquito. They're trying to help fertilize their eggs. And so your blood is fertilizing that egg. But when they bite you, and if they carry this disease, obviously is now injected into you. Equally important is the fact that neither of these approaches would kill the mosquitoes, thus preserving the delicate balance between ecosystems and food chains. So some of the treatments that they've had in the past have just wiped the population out, and they found out that actually affected a lot of different things in the ecosystem. So they took some of that away, and there's a lot of controversy about that. But going back to our environmental episode, they're trying to find a way to treat it without damaging the ecosystem as well. Their promising lab research was published in the prestigious scientific journal Nature, where they wrote, quote, "These findings are significant in terms of regional malaria transmission and epidemiology as well as risk mapping. Such a program would be the biggest leap forward in the effort to eradicate malaria since infections had dropped by 40% leading up to 2014 due to mass mosquito net distribution by UNICEF and their partners." So, by the way, there's plenty of places you can look online where you can donate enough money for mosquito nets, and they're inexpensive, and they get those to people, and those are huge, because at nighttime and daytime when people are sitting around and sleeping, and because of standing water and everything else, they're able to just put these mosquito nets around beds, in front of doorways, and it prevents a lot of things just by doing that. So there are tons of ways to help, but man, what an awesome way. So once again, instead of just seeing good news, we can create good news. We're supposed to care about our brother, right? Supposed to care about our brother and sister. And you say, well, I don't have a brother and sister. And yes, you do. Humanity is our brother and sister. Obviously, in Christ, I have brothers and sisters, but humanity are my fellow brothers, fellow sisters in this world, and I have a responsibility and an obligation, but also a privilege to care for them. So instead of just waiting for good news, I get to create good news. Now, isn't that awesome? So I just want to encourage you to decide right now, okay, today, instead of just looking for some good news, and go looking for some, I'm going to make some good news. I'm going to show somebody love. I'm not saying you're going to leave a $2,500 tip when you get your hair cut. I'm probably not. I can do some things. I can pay for a meal in front of somebody in behind me or beside me in line. There's a lot of different things that I can do to show someone love and see a bright, blessed day. Wouldn't that be awesome? Bright, blessed day. Hey, next week I want you to join me. I've got a guest. My wife is coming back. She's going to be my guest again next week. Susan is going to be here. And we're going to talk about the dark sacred night. And you do not want to miss that. I'm looking forward to that. But hey, today concentrate on the bright, blessed day. Thank you for being a part. If you want to help us out and become a team member and get some benefits, go to patreon.com/life180 and we'll join you. So I'm going to close it out with the theme song one more time so you can hear this over and over again. So here it is, the podcast, the Wonderful World podcast theme song. God bless. Hope you have an awesome day.